Sikha for Parshat Tzav is in Chelik Zayin, in volume 7 of Likutei Sichos. By the mitzvahs that God gave to Moshe and told him to repeat them to the Yidden, we find three expressions. There's a time when the mitzvah is said in the form of Daber, speak to the children of Israel. Sometimes it says Emer, say to the children of Israel. And sometimes it says Tzav, command the children of Israel. And although all the mitzvahs, even those that were given in the form of speak or say, they are all called mitzvah, same word as tzav, tziva, yet there must be a difference in the meaning and in the significance of these different expressions. We must say that although all mitzvahs are called mitzvahs, even if they are worded as speak to the children of Israel or say to the children of Israel, yet those mitzvahs in which the word tzav appears and it is stated clearly that this is a commandment, it must mean that in this mitzvah the tzav is stronger, the commandment is stronger than in the other two. And that's why it says in Teiras Kayin and in Rashi at the beginning of our Sedra that Ein Tzav Elo Ziruz Miyadu L'Deiris. Wherever it says Tzav, it means an urgent command for immediately and for all time to come. Chassidus says that mitzvah comes from the word Tzavsa. That mitzvah means connection, a joining. The mitzvah joins the Jew who is doing the mitzvah with God. And since all explanations in Torah, wherever you find two explanations over the same thing, the explanations must be related in some way. So we are to understand that these two definitions of mitzvah, one is that it is a command rather than a statement, and the other is that it is a connection, a joining. They must be connected or related to each other. And that is because the joining of a Jew with God comes through the performance of the mitzvah, and that's only when you do the mitzvah because it is a commandment, because it was instructed by God that we do this. In other words, we're not doing it because of conviction, because we agree with the mitzvah. We're not doing it because it feels right or other such reasons. We do it rather because this is what God instructed, this is what God said. So we are doing it out of the acceptance of God's authority, of God's kingdom, of the kingdom of heaven. And so when we do the mitzvah as a tzivui, as a tzav, as a commandment, then it has the effect of being tzavsa v'chibur, it connects us to God. And so those commandments in which the word tzav appears, it is given in the form of a tzav, must also have a greater degree of tzavsa v'chibur, a greater degree of connection and of joining with God. So to understand this, we first have to explain or understand what Chassidus says concerning the effect of a mitzvah. The creator and the created being have no connection, essential connection between them, because they are so distant from each other that there is no point of contact. In fact, as far as the existence of God is concerned, relative to the existence of God, the created existence is nothing at all. The creation has no existence relative to God's existence. As Chassidus gives the example of a great Chacham, who because of his great Chachma, he is such a brilliant mind that his entire existence, his entire definition and character is that of Seichel, that of intelligence. To this kind of a person, the simple person who is devoid of any intelligence or of any knowledge has absolutely no existence whatsoever. To the Chacham, the simple person has no existence. Now this distance, this gap between them, between the creation and the Creator, cannot even be described as a negative relationship, as if to say that the existence of the created being is nothing compared to the existence of God. Rather, the created being has no existence at all. It need not even be denied in relation to God. And this is what Chassidus is trying to tell us with the example of the Chacham and the simple person, that it's not that the simple person has less wisdom than the Chacham, or has so little wisdom that the Chacham doesn't consider him significant at all. There's no comparison between them at all. It's not even enough to say that one is not intelligent compared to the other. In fact, when a person says that a concept cannot be grasped by the hand, this seems to be saying that a concept is too refined, it is too ethereal to be able to be held by the hand. But by having to say that this cannot be grasped by the hand, you're implying that it at least comes into consideration, that it exists in the world of touch. But it is so elusive that it is impossible to apply a touch to a concept. But that's not correct, as Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that if a person were to say about a very abstract, refined concept that I can't grasp it with my hand, people would laugh at him. Because even to say that you can't touch it with the hand is preposterous, because that seems to imply that they exist in the same realm, only one is very far from the other, when in fact they don't exist in the same realm at all. And this is the difference between that which is truly spiritual, like a concept, an idea, a seichel, versus those things that are slightly spiritual, or what is called ruchnius shebegashmius, the spiritual parts of the physical. As for example, a voice, or a vision, or a smell. These two cannot be grasped by the hand, but they are at least connected to that which is tangible. And so you can say, it is correct to say, that a smell cannot be touched, because it is one of the five senses, only it is a different sense. It is not the sense of touch, it is the sense of smell. So by saying that you can't touch a scent, a smell, you're not introducing what is inappropriate into the realm of the senses, because they are both senses. Whereas seichel, intelligence, a concept, is not one of the five senses, and therefore to even have to say that you can't touch a concept, that you can't grasp a concept with your physical hands, is an unnecessary and incorrect statement, because it implies, it seems to be saying that they're in the same world, but too far apart to connect. And so this is what the example that Chassidus gives is trying to convey, that to the great Chacham, the simple person is not only very far at the opposite end of the spectrum, but they're not on the same spectrum at all. They don't belong to the same universe. And therefore, the simple person doesn't exist in the world of the genius, in the world of the Chacham, not even to the degree where you have to exclude him from that category. Now, if this is true, between a Chacham and a simple person, who are both created beings, both finite beings, how much more so is it true concerning the Creator and His creation? where the Creator is completely infinite, the true infinite, and the created being is a finite being. And so the distance between them is indescribable, cannot be expressed even in the exclusion of one from the other. And so what happens when God gives a commandment, when there is an instruction, when there is a commandment given, which means that the Creator commands the Jew to do a certain mitzvah, of course the connection will actually happen when the person fulfills the mitzvah. But even before he does the mitzvah, the fact that he was commanded already creates a bond and a connection between the commander and the commanded. And that connection remains even if the person violates the commandment or fails to fulfill the commandment. Because when the person violates the commandment, then he is going against the commandment. He is violating, which means that he's not out of the realm of this connection, but rather that his connection has taken a negative turn. He is doing the opposite of God's will. But a non-Jew who was not commanded the commandment at all, it can't be said of a non-Jew that he is doing the opposite of God's will, because he's not in the category of the mitzvahs where God's will applies to him, even to the degree where he can deny God's will or do the opposite of God's will. But when a Jew sins, he is doing the opposite of God's will, because God still wants him to do the mitzvah, and he is doing the opposite of what God wants. So he is pursuing the relationship, but in a negative manner. And that is the meaning of Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu. Even when a Jew sins, he is Yisrael. Yesh Shishim Ribui Oisiyis L'Teda. The first letters of the words spell out the word Yisrael, which means that he is still connected to God by the very fact that he is commanded and that God wants him to do the commandment. And so, when we say that every mitzvah brings about a connection, it means that when the commandment is given, a connection is created. When the commandment is fulfilled, then not only is there a connection, but there's actually a significance. Like in the example of the Chacham and the simple person, when the Chacham asks the simple person to run him an errand, that itself makes the simple person exist in the world of the Chacham. Then if the simple person does the commandment, then that makes the simple person significant in the world of the Chacham. So first there is an existence, and then by the doing, you attain also a significance. So when we say that there are certain commandments that were given in the form of a tzav, that there, in those mitzvahs, there is a greater amount of connectedness, a greater amount of tzav sovichibu. The difference between emer, daber, and tzav: emer means say, daber means speak, and tzav means command. The difference is that when you say speak, or say to someone, you're implying that what is being asked depends completely on the choice of the person to respond or not to respond. When you say command, you imply that there is a commander, that there's a certain authority, and that this authority is demanding a certain behavior. So you're not leaving as much room for the person's freedom of choice to do or not to do. You're in a sense compelling him to do it by the authority of the command. So wherever it says speak or say, there's a certain amount of freedom left to the Jew to choose to do or not to do. And so the connection, the tzafsa v'chibur, that results is primarily a result of the doing, not so much of the commanding or of the instruction. But where it says tzav, where it says command, there, even before the doing, even before you fulfill the mitzvah, there's already a strong connection in the very fact that you are commanded, or in a sense compelled, to do the mitzvah, because it is almost certain that you will do it. This needs further explanation. Every Jew has freedom of choice in all mitzvahs, including those mitzvahs that were worded as a tzav, as a compelling commandment. So how can we say that in the tzav mitzvah there is less freedom of choice? So the explanation is like this. Mitzvahs in general come in three pillars, three columns. There's the right column, the left column, and the center column. In the right column, you find Emir. Say to the children of Israel. Emir is Lashon Raka. It's a soft command. Then in the, that's the right side. On the left side, you find Daber. Say. And that, we're told, is Lashon Kosha. That's a harsh statement, not a soft statement. And then there's the center column, and that is the Tzav, which means a different kind of expression that is neither right nor left, neither soft nor harsh. And what it means is something like this. The middle pillar, the middle pole, we are told in the words of Kabbalah that it rises to the inner part of the crown, whereas the right side and the left side, they reach only the external part of the crown. The crown means God's will. The external part of the crown means the will itself. The internal part of God's will is God himself, the Baal HaRotzen, he who has the will. So the mitzvahs that are in the right column and the left column, they reach into the will of God. They fulfill God's will or they violate God's will. Those commandments that are in the center pole, they reach God himself. They either fulfill God or violate God himself. And so, just as there is a difference between the mitzvahs, those that are of the right and left side versus the one that is in the middle, and the difference being that it affects the commander differently, the same is true also in its effect on the commanded, on the mitzvah, on the Jew. The mitzvahs that are on the right side and left side, they affect the external part of the Jew's will, or of the Jew's neshama. Whereas the mitzvahs that are in the center column, just as they reach into the essence of God's will, the inner part of God's will, to God himself, similarly, they also affect the essence of the neshama, not only the will of the neshama. And so, in the center column, there is a connection between the essence of God and the essence of the neshama. Pnimius of the Maila and the Pnimius of the Mata, of the Jew below. And that's why in these certain mitzvahs the expression tzav is used. And then we are more certain that the mitzvah will be fulfilled, because freedom of choice applies only in the external parts of the neshama. The fact that a Jew can choose good or, God forbid, evil, that is true only of the external part of the neshama. There can be a tendency towards the evil as well as towards the good. But in the pnimiyus haneshama, in the inner part of the neshama, there is no unholy side. There is no conflict between holy and unholy. And even while a Jew is committing a sin, by force of the external part of the neshama, The internal part of the neshama, the nekudas haneshama, remains innocent and does not involve itself in the sin at all, as the Rambam says, that when a Jew sometimes does what is not allowed, it is only because yitzvei hu shetokfei. It is imposed on him from the outside, from the external, because the internal part of his neshama, the pnimis of his neshama, is not capable of sinning. Now, to understand the Rambam's words, the Rambam himself says that v'shus v'chol odom nesuna, that every person is given permission, v'eise kol mashu chofetz, and he can choose to do whatever it is he desires, hatev eihara, the good or the bad. So that says that a person is capable of sinning, of doing the opposite of good. And when he does the opposite of good, it's because he chose to do it. This is his choosing. So how can the Rambam then also say that yitzvei hu shetokvei, that he is being forced to sin, and that it's not his will, and it is not his choice to do the sin? So the explanation is, as I said before, the fact that a person can choose to go right or left, to do right or wrong, that's by virtue of the external parts of the neshama. But when the internal part of the neshama is revealed, then he is incapable of sinning. So that when a person is sinning, it is overwhelming the inner part of his neshama, and it is going against the desire of the inner part of his neshama. And so it is considered as if his Yetzirah forced him. And that's why these mitzvahs that are given in the form of a tzav, because they are from the center pillar, from the middle pillar, there's a certainty about the fulfillment of that mitzvah, because it stimulates, it relates to the pnimiyas haneshama, where there really is no choice but to do good. So now we have another question. Since the fulfillment of a mitzvah has to be physical, he has to do the mitzvah in a physical gesture, physical act, which means that he has to use his external, the external parts of his neshama. So what difference does it make, and of what significance is it, that the inner part of his neshama wants to do the mitzvah, since the mitzvah has to be performed with the external part of his neshama? So how can we be sure that the person will fulfill these mitzvahs that belong to the center pole, to the center kav, that he will fulfill them because of his pnimiyas haneshama? He has to fulfill them with the acts of the external part of his neshama. And that's why we are told that the one of the properties, one of the characteristics of the center of the Kav HaEmtzayi is that it reaches high to the inner part of the neshama, and it reaches down low to the lowest level. It influences even the external part of the neshama and causes it to do the mitzvah. Now we will understand the connection between the mitzvahs that are given in the form of a tzav and the ziruz miyadu l'deiris. Ziruz meaning urgency and immediacy. When is zirizus lacking? What would cause a person to be lacking in zirizus? It's when the resolution, when the decision in the mind, in the brain, has to come down and affect the person's behavior. So there are times when it comes down directly, it immediately influences his behavior, and sometimes it gets stuck because he has to start rationalizing it, and so it gets stuck in the emotion, it gets stuck in the action part, and even if he does end up doing it, he loses a lot, much of the enthusiasm of the original intensity is lost in the process, so that by the time he does it without enthusiasm. But when the mind is clear, when there's a direct connection, as there is in the Kav HaEmtzoi, in the center Kav, there's a connection of the highest to the lowest, there are no impediments. And as soon as he makes the resolution that he's going to do something good, it immediately affects his behavior, and the act, the mitzvah, gets done. And since a person in his heart makes a resolution in the nefesh powers, he makes a resolution, and it gets expressed immediately in behavior, without any limits and without any restrictions, without losing any of its enthusiasm, because there is no difference to him between the refined and delicate parts of the brain, of the intelligence, which is the highest of all human faculties, and the action part, the doing with the hands or the going with the feet, which is the lowest part of the human faculties. He is connected directly from the top to the bottom, from the highest to the lowest, without any restrictions at all. He therefore causes the same to happen in the world, that he brings this effect into the world, miyad uladeidis, immediately and for generations to come, because he has transcended those restrictions and those limitations that separate past, present from future. So all parts of time are joined and united immediately and forever. And this is what Reb Shimon says, in addition to what we're saying here, that particularly when it comes to those mitzvahs that is going to cost you money, there you need even greater zivus. By the mitzvah of tzedakah, where you lose money, you have to give away money, here you have to have more zivus. So even though zivus in general comes from the Kav HaEmtzoi, from that which reaches into the core of the neshama and all the way down into the feet to make the behavior happen immediately, but when it comes to tzedakah, in order to give tzedakah properly, here you need an even greater amount of zirus, which means you need to reach even deeper into the core of the neshama, in the Kav HaEmtzoi, in the middle Kav itself. You have to go higher and lower, reach up higher and affect down lower. The mitzvah of tzedakah is connected with the b'chol me'idecha, because when it says you should love God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your might, all your heart means emotions, all your soul means with your life, and all your might means with your money, with your possessions. And all your might also means endlessly, without any restrictions. When it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, when it comes to the mitzvah that costs, that you have to give away what is yours, here you have to reach into the b'chol me'idecha. It's not enough to have with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your soul. It has to be with all your might. To make it clearer, explains in Tanya that the mitzvah of tzedakah is unique for two reasons. First of all, because it affects the entire animal soul. Since a person can buy himself food which will keep his soul alive, his animal soul alive, and when he gives away this money with which he could have fed his neshama, kept himself alive, it's as if he's giving his life away to God. Another thing is that when he gives away tzedakah, he is bringing to God not only himself and his soul and his animal soul, but also the physical portion of the world that is his, his physical possessions. So according to the principle that the higher something is, the lower it can come, when you need to affect not only your animal soul, but also the physical objects of your life, for this you need to reach even deeper into the neshama. And with this we'll understand why the Pshimon was the one who said that when it comes to tzedakah, you have to have even more zirus. You have to reach even deeper into your neshama and connect it not only with your animal soul, but with the physical material wealth that is money, that is the tzedakah. It's because Reb Shimon, Bar Yochai, he was the one who excelled in his ability to bring together the highest and the lowest. As is known, that he was able to cause rain. And not by praying for rain, as is usually the case, but by saying Torah. By giving a teaching of Torah, he was able to cause it to rain in the physical. And so we see here the connection of the highest with the lowest. And that's why he was the one who could say that when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, you reach higher into your neshama and affect the mitzvah that involves the lowest of the low, the physical object of our lives.